Well, it's always a pleasure to deliver the message of God this morning. As you can see on the overhead, we got springtime at hand, baseball season's at hand. Just got a chance to watch a Atlanta Braves game against the Mets in Atlanta. I know Eddie and Susan just had a chance to watch a Diamondbacks baseball game. And so I want to give a thanks to my nephew, Joe. As we're preaching at times, you're trying to have a lesson that really has passion behind it. But anyway, my nephew and I had a conversation, and I had a lesson I was going to give, and I switched to this one here because he somewhat inspired me a little bit in this message. I think this message will hit home for a lot of us. In fact, probably every single one of us here. And being in a spiritual slump. You know, at some point in every baseball player's career, he experiences what is known as a hitting slump. He swings and he swings, but the bat, he just can't connect with the ball. He practices and practices, but to no avail. This is simply a normal part of a baseball player's career. Similarly, every Christian goes through a spiritual slump. You wake up one day and you feel like you're in just a losing streak. You remember the days of being on the mountaintop, but you cannot seem to climb to those heights again. You realize instead of having a joyous Christian life, you're simply just going through the motions. And yet you're desperately wanting to go back to that feeling that you once had. There was a time when your heart would burn as you read scriptures. Now you no longer feel the same. You once enjoyed your prayer life, and such a joy it was for you to go to the throne of God in prayer. However, something's happened, and the thrill is no longer there. When you were asked to do something for the church, you were overjoyed with the privilege of helping. Now, however, it takes all that you have to muster up any type of excitement to do things for the church. You were excited about an opportunity to talk about God. You were excited to show up any time the church had anything going on, a time of assembly. You were happy and just ecstatic to be a part of a Bible study. But now you wish you felt that way again. What's wrong with you? The feeling is not unique to you. It's not unique to preachers or to the eldership even here. Men and women are teenagers. Everyone has similar feelings at one time or another. Some have simply learned just to fake it. A person said that it's like a heartbeat. It's the ups and downs of life. It means you're alive. Otherwise, you're dead. Right? Life's that way at times. There's sin around us. Things are happening. The great prophet Elijah found himself in a slump. He stood against 450 prophets of Baal. He called down a fire and a sacrifice. He directed the people of Israel to slay these false prophets. He called down rain on a parched land. Yet we read about this in Elijah in our study that we had recently in Kings. He says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's.'" After all that had happened, now Ahab's wife Jezebel is out to kill him. He's like, "What?" He goes on to say, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Right, Elijah lost his mojo. I mean, come on, God. I'm trying my best here, and things just aren't just as smooth as they need to be, and I'm not feeling the way I ought to be feeling about the situation. Right, Moses, a great leader himself, had a slump similar. In Numbers chapter 11, we read about Moses' situation. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all this people on me?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and alone I'm left, and to seek my life to take it away." And that scripture should not be there. Let me read verse 12. Wow, that's called doing PowerPoint and putting the wrong scripture. So disregard 12, but it should say, what is it who conceived all this people? What is it who I brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, and a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore their fathers? What Moses was looking at, he was complaining that God had given him the burden of caring for the Israelites. He was complaining that he had to babysit them. He was complaining that he had to deal with troublemakers. Why was he complaining? He was suffering a time of depression, if you please, a slump. In fact, a lot of our Bible heroes went through spiritual slumps. And I do a Bible heroes plug because we have an upcoming VBS. And we're going to talk about certain Bible heroes. And they had difficulties and just didn't feel the way they ought to have felt at times. And so with that being said, I give you in the book of Samuel, even David, when Saul was chasing him all over the place to kill him. When David was dealing with his son Absalom. And we can go on, even the New Testament, our apostles and such dealt with spiritual slumps. I mean, Peter comes to mind. Now, I'm not talking about a period of your life that you've been overtaken by sin. And I'm not talking even that maybe you've backslidden. I'm not talking about you going around behind your spouse's back or even robbing a bank. You read your Bible, you're praying, but your walk with God is not exciting to you. Church attendance is drudgery. You feel like you've been running around in circles and seem to be going nowhere. You're in a spiritual slump. So what is a slump? It's a struggle. Things are not right in your spiritual walk. Maybe you've lost your spiritual edge and you don't know what's going on. Do you guys remember when we had our study in 2 Kings or in chapter 6 and the sons of the prophet were going to build a new structure? And so one of the sons of the prophet had lost his axe head. And so here we read about it in 2 Kings 6:5. He says here, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water and he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. It wasn't like he could go to Home Depot and purchase another axe. And it wasn't that he had a lot of money. An item like that was not something that was that everyone would have and could afford. I mean, we think about our technology and things we have now. A simple axe was an important thing back then. So Elisha came to him and asked him, where exactly did it fall? They went to the exact spot, the exact location. And of course, we know Elisha did a miracle and the axe head floated. We use this to make a point. This analogy was to make a point in our spiritual lives. When we lose our spiritual cutting edge, where did we lose it? So what we're trying to do is go back to a point to see what happened. What was the turning, the tipping point on the way I'm feeling right now? What possibly caused it? To get to the root cause, to find out where that slump began. So what are some of the indications that you might be in a spiritual slump? For us baseball fans, what might be a sign? How about a poor batting average? How about striking out quite often? So here are some indications I want to share with you. Just a couple few thoughts here to think about for a moment. No delight in God. The psalmist says that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm not saying that you hate God. What I am saying is that delight's no longer there. You're not getting excited about God. You're not passionate about God. Maybe you haven't been reminding yourself of his faithfulness to you and God's love and greatness. Now, I appreciate the prayers that Daniel has and his enthusiasm about an awesome God. I think Tyler hit on that as well, because he is an awesome God. And we've got to remind ourselves and we've got to delight in it. In Psalms 1, we have some other indications about being in a spiritual slump and that there's no delight in God's word. The psalmist says here that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, right? There's not much excitement anymore when we open the Bible. It becomes a little bit more of a challenge for us.
I find myself in that spot. I mean, there's times I ask my wife, I go lock myself in my room, which she gets frustrated with me sometimes. I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, yeah.
And sometimes I find I just don't have that excitement right there. I just like, what, man, why?
What about maybe no passion and fruitfulness in your heart? Right in verse 3 of the psalm, we read about, he says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Wherever he does, prospers. Right? It's important to realize that spiritual slumps happen to the best of us. Just as every professional athlete, one time or another, has a tough season. I might go back to the Giants and mention Barry Bonds. I might go today and mention, you know, for the Angels, Mike Trout. That's baseball players, by the way. Some of you are dumbfounded there, but just sorry if the lesson misses you on this great sport. But they struggled. If you've walked with the Lord for any particular time, you've gone through spiritual slumps. When the Lord seems really distant from you, you hit a plateau and you seem stuck. And sometimes we're not aware of it right away. But at some point you realize you aren't excited about the Lord as you used to be. You're going through the motions. Yeah, you're reading your Bible, you're serving, but you somehow lost your first love. And it is in that thought I was thinking about the church in Ephesus. Because we read here in that, it says, he says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. I mean, he's saying these things about the church. That's there's a lot of us here about that way, doing things, got the knowledge, and we're going against false teaching. We're right on that. And yet, he has this against you, that you lost your first love. Right? The church of Ephesus was doing some good stuff, and you've been doing some good stuff. But that love just isn't where it needs to be. So with all of that, Ben, we consider ourselves here this morning. And so what do we do? And I'm not sure, I think I have some answers here. When my nephew and I, Joe, were talking, I was kind of thinking about my own situation. And so I'm looking and researching and reading. I'm all over here I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out how to be the person God wants me to be all the time. And so what can we do here? And we'll continue our analogy with baseball. So we get some instructions from our coach. And I think you all can figure out who our coach is. Right? It requires some humility on our part. Because we have to come to the point that we're willing to ask for help. How many times we don't ask God for help? That we just kind of just struggle through and he's right there wanting to help you through something. I mean, here in Psalms you read, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there may be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." Boy, that's a good prayer to have tonight, isn't it? If you're going through some challenges, some difficulties, just kind of not, you don't have your mojo going, I'm using that kind of term, you know what I mean? Right, a player goes to his coach for instructions. You've got to ask him what's going on. You know, maybe there's a specific sin you got to deal with. There's some adjustments you need to make in your life. Now, I came across this statement. Not every statement that someone writes, I'm jumping on. Because I want to be careful as I read this, because some of you aren't really trying too hard. But some of you are trying, so this is for you. Not to beat the other people up, but it's true. You all know. Some aren't trying. Some are trying. This is for my trying people. Maybe what God is trying to tell you is that you're trying too hard. Maybe what you need to do is stop trying and start trusting in Him. That was a statement that just kind of resonated with me a little bit. Yeah, I love this in Isaiah. I came across this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right, those are the things that we're going to coach for. Those are things we're reminding ourselves about so we can get back up and where we need to be. Amen. Here's another thing that we can do here, and that is encouragement from teammates. And I kind of felt from my nephew Joe and I, that's kind of where we were the other night. You know the scripture here about, you know, in Hebrews, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, right? To encourage one another. I mean, Thessalonians says, as another scripture in Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another. Right, just before that, he gave you the reason, because Jesus died for you. He did these things. Go in the letter, read it tonight. I mean, he's talking about it. He says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for attaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together. It doesn't matter if you already died and you were with him, or you're alive now. That's some encouragement. Because of that, we got to be telling people and reminding those of these wonderful things in the plan of salvation that God has provided for you. At some point, something gives in your life. You guys know I do the life insurance side of things. I had a couple more death claims I'm dealing with. At that point, that's it. And I don't really know how their lives were led. I'm just saying there ain't no second chances for those folks. What are we doing? Teammates working together, reminding everyone about these things. You know, that one another is used many times in the Bible. So we want to be transparent with those close to us in our church family. Right? Let them encourage you. Part of the reason why we're together is to encourage one another. Are you willing to be an encourager? God might be calling some of you right now to be an encourager. To right now hold somebody up. That's good stuff. Be obedient to that. So when we think about our spiritual lives, what's at stake here? I mean, it's not a World Series championships. Would be super great. Right? What's our incentive? It's not a big paycheck. Well, that'd be kind of cool. What is it? Right? It's heaven. Right? We got to have a desire to get back out of our spiritual slump, to get back on track with the Lord. So I came across this one in Colossians. There's so many scriptures you can go to. You're trying to maintain your lesson, kind of keep things in a time frame that's reasonable. But think about this, about what Paul's saying here. And I meant to say, Susan, I apologize if you see a Yankees person up there, but anyway, just no big deal. So you have here then, Paul's saying, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I got to tell you, Paul would be a pretty good teammate, because he was praying for people, he was encouraging people, and he even encouraged them himself. He asked for that at times. Encourage me, man, this ain't that easy. It's difficult. So he goes on to say here that so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And there it is. God has shared with us an inheritance, right? An inheritance that is so grand and so wonderful that we can't even comprehend. We're talking about stuff in Bill's wonderful study in the Holy Spirit. I told him it's like I'm in college, but not a hard college class. But my brain is just, I'm like going, wow, this is, but it's just hard to comprehend some stuff. Sometimes we just can't comprehend all that God's promised us. But he certainly has. And so if you're in a slump right now, we got to pull ourselves out and we got to help others and recognize this, right? We've got to help our teammates here. And so we want to start seeing that fastball, not like a little marble that you're trying to swing at that seems so tiny, but a big beach ball easy to hit. You know, when baseball batters are on a hitting streak, ask them how they see the ball. They see it a lot bigger. It's almost like a basketball player where the hoop is so big they just can't miss. Right? Some of the playoffs are going right now, and you're seeing these guys, they're just not missing. And so with that being said, we got to remind ourselves the big beach ball here that God's put in front of us. His love, His mercy, His forgiveness. Right? So that we can get the right perspective of life to remind ourselves that this ought to be a lot easier than we're making it on ourselves. And so there's perspective here. You know, both Elijah and Moses, right? We talked about as we began our lesson. You always I put conclusion up there, and you guys know how I go. I do my 10-minute conclusions. But I want to surmise all the stuff we're talking about here. But Elijah and Moses, we began this lesson, kind of lost perspective for a moment, didn't they? They just got stuck in something. And, you know, God, you can read in James wherever else, and God is just, he's saying you're going to have tribulation. You know it's coming. We have the heartbeat thing. It's coming. Ups and downs are coming. Tribulations are coming. So it's not a secret. So what are you going to do with it? You watch any sports team, they're going to have losing streaks, or in our analogy here with the baseball, the hitting slump. These things just happen. It's what you do with it and when you're in it and how quickly you can pull yourself out of it and how quickly someone else can recognize you because you're spending time with people that they can help and slap you in the face a little bit, give you a gut shot. Come on, man. Get off your pity pot. You kidding me? God's giving you all this stuff right here. You're going to be whining all this. Come on. Let's go. So just, again, just things to think about and to consider. And Elijah and Moses were there. And their perspective, you know, Joe had mentioned to me about Jesus that it's finished. When Jesus was going all through his trials and his tribulations, all the things that he had done, what was his perspective on life? And to the point it was finished. You know, Deb and I were at an Allstate function recently. And I go to these functions and stuff, and it's kind of cool. And I'm glad Deb got to be a part of it, because this was an advisor one, but she got to actually join in this one. And she got to hear this motivational speaker guy. So I get all these kind of guys I'm listening to and such. And so the guy that we heard was this Asian dude, and he was from Australia. He's a really neat guy. He was a magician. I like magic. I'm just saying. And this guy was just all of that, and it was just fun to listen to him. I mean, I'm just telling you, it was. You could ask that. We got a chance to meet him afterwards, and he became very successful as an online magician. Go figure. Like, how do you get to that point? But he wanted something else. He wanted to be this motivational speaker. So he worked. I mean, he worked on his speaking skill. I mean, he did all this stuff, and so. But early on, he lacked everything. He didn't have the right perspective in life and in business. What happened was, and he said, he's kind of got this tunnel vision, just kind of just right here. And then sometimes in our Christian walk, we kind of get in this tunnel vision. We're not really sometimes stepping back and seeing things around us that are right there. And we just kind of go through life and not paying attention. And so his whole thought was really about perspective. And so he showed us this magic trick. Now, he had previously recorded it. So it's almost like we'd watch this magic trick that he had done, and he recorded it. And it was with cards. And so he goes through it. I'm kind of just watching it. And then he shows the exact same thing, exactly, but with a different camera angle. There was things I didn't even... Now, my wife said, well, I knew that he took his jacket off. I knew that he did. I saw him grab the... I didn't see it. I was oblivious to it. I was stuck, and I didn't have the perspective I needed. So he shows the angles. He shows a different perspective. And so it helped me. So what's the point here? How are you seeing life right now? What's your perspective on your life? Are you missing something that is right in front of you? So he makes one point that I thought was very interesting. And the point was, he asked the question, who's in your top five? Who's in your top five? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Ones that help you and show you different camera angles, perspectives, right? Ones that keep you on an enthusiastic path with God. Right, this person's successful journey took the help of others to point things out that were right in front of him that he could not see. I mean, think about that for a moment. Sometimes we just corner ourselves in our own lives and we just see what we see. So in his mind,
when he was, he didn't want to be around people that just thought the same way that he did. And so the whole magician thing online came back because he was in with this internet guy that he befriended. You see where this is going? Right? God talks about things. I mean, so we have our coach, right? That's God, right? We have his word, right? And if we allow it in itself, it should help us. But sometimes we need other people, we need teammates to kind of bring it all in. And so the question is who are your teammates helping you and encouraging? And if you don't have any teammates, you need to recruit some here, right? We got people here. Yeah, you go up to them and say, I need a teammate. I'm going to put you on my team. But the same token, you might have some teammates that you need to get rid of. Now, it was funny when he was making the perspective, because it was a business setting. He says, you don't have to get rid of your wife or, you know, your family. You meant in a business perspective, but I'm making this for ourselves here in light of just the lesson itself, to help have people around you helping you with your walk. People not hindering you, people helping you, and there's plenty of that. That's why God set this up the way he did. And so I leave you with the thought then it's time to get on a hitting streak, folks, and it's time to get out of your spiritual slump. If you're here this morning, all right, first off, you have to be on God's team. If you're not on his team, there's no opportunity to have any of the benefits of God's kingdom. You just can't. The scriptures bear that out. If you are on God's team and you just haven't been where you needed to be, you've lost your perspective, you're in a slump, God, please help. Help me. Help me with my anxiousness, God. Help me with anything that's hurtful in my life and point it out to me and just assist me. Put others around me in my life that can elevate me and help me along my journey. And so those are the things that we have to think about. And at what level are you participating in God's kingdom? Are you one of the main go-to players? Are you one of the reserves? Or are you just far off to the side, not even dressing for games anymore? Where are you? So I hope the lesson hits home. If you're subject to invitation, please stand and come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.